I am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. Since most people have forgotten their New Year's resolutions already, and with the state of the economy the way it is, there's a new book out that gives the reader a simple and workable way to perfecting your mind and body. My guest now, Jennifer Cohen, has for years trained a veritable group of Hollywood types, A-listers, studio executives, and more. She has written with Suzanne Boyd, No Gym Required, Unleash Your Inner Rockstar. You can have her valuable workout tips, menu plans, and healthy living advice in this book, which is a primer on how to get that healthy you without an expensive gym membership or expensive exercise equipment. Jennifer Cohen is a fitness director for the York Clubs in Toronto, and she's the face of Nike Goddess and La Senza Spirit. The book is published by Key Porter Books and retails for $21.95. JenniferCohen.com is her website, and the site for No Gym Required is ngrfit.com. Please welcome to the Plant on the Lawn program, Jennifer Cohen. Good morning, Ms. Cohen.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Nike Goddess, what do you do there?
Well, actually, what you read is accurate. However, it's only a bit dated because Nike Goddess I was a face of when I was back when, a few years ago. And I basically now streamlined everything I do into No Gym Required, which means I don't do any kind of other endorsements for La Senza or Nike. But what I used to do was I would be a spokesperson for many different companies, be it apparel, food, what have you, to kind of promote a healthy lifestyle and kind of promote the fitness brand to people across, you know, the country or North America, actually. And now I have my own brand, No Gym Required, which is basically simple solutions for the everyday person to get more fit and to just integrate fitness into their life.
And so, other than the book, No Gym Required also involves cross trainers, do they? Shoes?
Yeah, exactly. So the book was basically the launching pad where I want to kind of bring my message to the forefront by talking about my philosophy, which was anytime, anywhere, no excuses, which really was to speak to people to kind of just do small little changes in their everyday life to kind of create good habits where they can start integrating fitness into their life. And the book speaks about that, obviously. And then I also launched last month a shoe line, which is called the NGR Shoe. And the shoe basically is an interchangeable weighted midsole that is weighted, so it adds resistance to your daily activities. So your shoes actually have more than just, they're multi-purpose. So everyone needs to wear shoes. You might as well have a shoe that has an additional value as well. And research has proven that they burn up to 50% more calories when you wear them. And they're great-looking shoes, and you basically can take in and out the heavy midsole and wear regular midsoles with them. It comes with two different midsoles, a regular and a weighted one.
And they're good for both men and women, right?
Well, right now they're just women, unless you have up to size 11 foot for women. So if you're a man that has a size 9 foot, you can fit into the ladies 11. They're made unisex in the sense that the width is made for both. Right now I'm in the process of making a mold for the men's because the response and the requests we've been getting from the male population is extremely high.
And so they can get those shoes at the website ngrfit.com, right?
Yeah, they can get them there, and we'd be happy to send them out to people. And people so far, the response has been from people who do wear them, love them. They're extremely comfortable. There's a lot of shock absorption to them. And like I said, it's a two-in-one shoe. And really, even if you are a gym person, you wear them while you work out, it increases the intensity. And if you aren't a gym person, just wear them, like I said, during the day, doing whatever you're doing. And you're getting a benefit of resistance and burning more calories.
As a trainer, as someone who speaks to groups and audiences across the country, across the United States even, you must hear this often, that changing one's life is hard enough, let alone sorting out the information, knowing what to do, what's right, seems more daunting, and so people just get apathetic, and they just give up, and they don't do anything at all. That must frustrate you.
No, it doesn't frustrate me. It actually, what it does, it motivates me to kind of make sure that I really kind of preach something that is realistic and that is attainable. And so my message is basically for everybody is that having realistic expectations of yourself. And that's really what I preach as well in my book, is that it's not as daunting, and you really don't, you tend to keep the motivation up when you set yourself with realistic, attainable goals. I think a lot of times people become very overwhelmed and very daunted when they really aspire to be something and do things that are just not quite possible and plausible in their realistic lifestyle. I mean, people are constantly looking at these celebrities as their, I guess, as their benchmark of what they should be like without taking into account what goes on and how much money it takes, time it takes, body type that really plays a major part. And so it becomes like very demotivating because you don't see the results that you want because you don't have the nutritionist, the trainers, the money, the surgery. And then you're like, well, what's the point, you know? But if you put yourself and you kind of give yourself realistic goals to set all the time and you see yourself achieving it, it becomes much more motivational for yourself to kind of keep on going. So that's really what I'd like to preach, is people really kind of looking at themselves, seeing what they have to work with, and then maximizing their assets that they have. They'll be much happier that way. So
the title of the book seems pretty straightforward, No Gym Required. What sort of equipment do you need, though, if you wanted to do the exercises that you write about in the book, that you demonstrate in the book, I should say, at home or at work or as you must do now on book tour?
Yeah. Basically, everything that I talk about in my book and what I require, what you require, is minimal. So what I say is very minimal equipment. If you have a few, you know, simple free weights, a stability ball, and even maybe a platform, you're good to go. You know, like everything you can buy your own gym basically for $200 or less. And even when I work out with people in gyms, I never and ever use the equipment anyway. I tend to always use the same things that you can find around your house, or I go into a little area at the gym where there's no equipment and make people use their own body weight. And the fact of the matter is, what people don't seem to understand is you get better workouts, if not the same, if not better, using the most basic equipment and the most basic moves than trying to be all fancy and gimmicky and using these big Nautilus. A lot of times you go to these gyms and 80%, you know, all those pieces of equipment that you're using, those pieces of equipment do 80% of the work for you. And they're single muscle movements. You want to make sure you do things that you're engaging more than one muscle group at once. You're using multiple body parts. And with that, you can only do that when you use your own body weight and very minimal equipment, because it's forcing yourself to use your core and stabilizing muscle groups. So, like I said, everything I use everything you see in my book is cost effective, very little, and you can, like I said, get the same benefit, if not more, doing it at your home. And I talk about key exercises, like a push-up. Push-up is the greatest exercise for your upper body. It works multiple body parts, and it really is more effective than, let's say, doing even a machine, like a chest press machine at the gym. So why not even... Why bother? Why spend the money on a gym membership when you can do it at home?
Well, something that we don't really think about that works as well, and that you devote some time to in the book is music, and you use it a lot yourself, and I guess we're surprised at what a motivator that is.
Yeah, it's true. I do talk about that a lot. A big theme in my book is the playlist and music, because I really do believe it's a motivational thing. It helps keep you motivated when you have music to listen to that you enjoy. And I even break it down into different kinds of beats per minute. If you're doing intense cardio, or if you're doing, you know, strength training, there's been research to prove, like, if you use BPMs or, you know, beats per minute that are particular to what you're trying to do, it actually intensifies your workout and the duration of the workout. And so I put together a lot of different playlists where you can kind of, you know, put together yourself from my suggestions that really have it proven to work and really just kind of give people ideas. I think music is a major factor of keeping motivated.
One of the things you talk about in the book that I found really interesting is that we should change the way we eat, in terms of breakfast should be our biggest meal of the day, and then work our way down.
Yeah.
I have a bad habit of eating late at night.
Most people do.
Yeah. So would you explain that, how that works, and how our bodies react to that if we did that?
Definitely. Well, you know, the reason why I say that is common sense in a way, right? We all intellectually can understand it, but then it's hard to kind of practice and apply what we know, right?
Yeah.
But the reality is, you know, as you go about your day, you're burning off calories. So it makes more sense to have a bigger breakfast and a bigger than having a big dinner. And right now, you know, North Americans especially, like what we do is we don't even eat breakfast. And then a lot of us like eat maybe a muffin during the day. And then we have like a huge dinner. So all that day that you could have been burning off all those calories, you're not. Right? And then you have this big caloric meal at dinner and then you go to sleep. And then you're basically, you're not burning off anything that you ate. So that's number one. So the reality is to reverse the way you're thinking about it. And once you start getting into a routine and a pattern where you're eating, you're getting used to eating a breakfast, you'll tend to kind of stick with it. But another thing you just mentioned is like people tend to snack a lot at night is what maybe you meant as well. And what I like to do is after I finish eating my dinner, a little trick that I put in my book and, you know, a lot of different mind tricks that I play with my, you know, that I talk about, is brushing your teeth right after you eat your dinner. So you're telling your brain or your mind that you know you're finished, you're done for the night. You know what I mean? If you don't do that sometimes, you think, well, why not? It's just kind of like, it's a psychological little thing that you kind of, it's like brain mind tricks.
Yeah. And the other thing that I found interesting is that you suggested we should shop not in the aisles of the supermarket.
Never. Always shop the perimeter because that's where the fresh food is, right? You want to stay away from processed food as much as possible. And the processed foods are the ones that are in the shelves, right? So you want to have as much fresh food. You want to make your diet as possibly as fresh as possible. It's fruits and vegetables, meats, chicken, fish, what have you. The only things I like to buy in the aisles are like Dijon mustard, balsamic vinegar, cans of tuna, you know, staples like that, like condiments. But, you know, it's if you could get into, it's like, again, it's making, it's kind of changing your habits. And once you start changing your habits, it becomes easier and easier to kind of, you know, turn your routines into a healthier version of what you were doing before. And small changes really do lead to better habits, into a better routine, into a healthier lifestyle. And then, again, like it's just making, again, I think a lot of times people like get the lack of motivation or they become so daunted by what the idea is because they don't start off slow, baby steps, right? If you just do small little things, baby steps, like shopping the perimeter, doing a few push-ups when you wake up in the morning versus going, you know, working out for 2 hours, like you just start little by little.
You live in Toronto, do you?
I actually live in Los Angeles and in Toronto, but I spend now a lot of my time in Los Angeles. But I do both. I mean, I basically go back and forth a lot.
You grew up in Winnipeg, did you?
Yeah, I grew up in Winnipeg, moved to Toronto for many years, then moved to Los Angeles for about 10 years, then moved back to Toronto. Then moved back to Toronto for a couple years, and, you know, my business is basically North American-based. I now focus on, as opposed to training individuals, I try to work with the hundreds of millions by really kind of trying to motivate and teach people a healthier way of living and inspire people to kind of believe it, really kind of incorporate and integrate fitness into their life. And that takes more than living in one city, I guess.
You talked earlier about unrealistic expectations that people have looking at Hollywood people and, mm-hmm. and this sort. You live and work in Hollywood. You've also lived and worked in cities in Canada. Mm-hmm. Are the goals different, the people? I mean, if you live in L.A., I suppose that your goal when we go see you, if we were a client, would be probably far different than if you know a client in Toronto, don't you think?
Well, like, you know, it's like I said, you know, it's interesting. I think that people's motivations for doing it are exactly the same. I think that the thing is that no one's different. And what's interesting is the only thing that's different is the people's schedules and the amount of money they have to spend on this particular lifestyle, so to speak. But people, no matter if you are in Hollywood or a housewife or, you know, a truck driver, people never seem and tend to be happy with what they have and what God's given them, and they're always aspiring to be better and different than what you are. And that was one of the crux of why I wanted to write this book, is like just taking a look at someone's realistic, what they were given, and making the best of what you have. If you're 100 pounds, you want to be 80 pounds, right? And if you're 180 pounds, you want to be 170 pounds. And it's all relative. So even though the extreme might be there between Hollywood and the housewife in Toronto, the same through line is there. The same dissatisfaction, the same unhappiness with who you are is still there. It's just relative to who you're comparing yourself to.
And I'm sure people ask you a lot about some of the celebrities that you've worked with. Could you name some of the people that you've trained over the years?
Oh God, I've trained a lot of people, but my specialty was always young and up and coming pop artists who got basically signed on to record labels at a young age, and then I had to get them. I had to train them and be basically their nutrition and fitness coach to get ready for a launch of an album or a video. So I worked with everybody. I've worked with a lot of people from former people from Destiny's Child. I've worked with American Idol contestants. I've worked with Christine Milian, Gabrielle Union, a lot of other people as well.
Did you find that the sort of things that people want to work on, say specific parts, like their butts opposed to their stomachs, does that change year to year, or what's in fashion?
You know what? I'll tell you something. If you're a woman, they always ask, they always want to work on their outer thighs and their butt. That's something's never changed. That never changes.
Yeah.
That's always a big one. The other one's always like, how do I get six-pack? The reality is a lot of these things are, you know what, you're not going to get a six-pack unless you change your diet. People think if you do 1,000 crunches, you're going to get a six-pack. Not going to happen. A lot of it is genetics. Some people are just naturally built a certain way, and that's what I talk a lot about in my book, is that you have there are different body types that people fall, their categories, and people fall under different categories. And some people are just naturally not built to have a certain kind of body type. Number one. Number two, like for example, a lot of it's diet. 80% of it is diet. You can be doing 1,000 sit-ups, and if you're eating French fries and pizza, you're never going to have that six-pack if you're not genetically, I guess, positioned to have that anyway.
Do you eat French fries and pizza from time to time?
I knew you could answer that. Yeah, of course I do. Listen, it's not about deprivation. I don't want to deprive myself. I'm cognizant, and I have one cheat day a week, so I don't go crazy when I want to eat. So yeah, I do, but I eat everything in I try to eat in moderation.
And have you enjoyed doing this book and the tour subsequent to that?
So far, so good. I've been doing a lot of. I did a lot of book signing so far, and a lot of coverage in newspapers. Right now, I'm on the cover of the Globe and Mail today, the life section. And yeah, I've been enjoying it. I've been enjoying actually a lot of speaking to people like yourself and meeting a lot of people who have questions and speaking and kind of getting my message across. So to answer your question in a roundabout way, yes, I have been enjoying myself.
Jennifer, congratulations on the book. Continued good luck with it.
Thank you.
The book is called No Gym Required, Unleash Your Inner Rockstar, $21.95 from Key Porter. JenniferCohen.com is the website, also ngrfit.com. Written with Suzanne Boyd, Jennifer Cohen on the line. I'm Joseph Plunto.